Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 18 through 21. And it's one that we're all familiar with. It's a very famous passage. This is one that I tell Matt all the time, verse 18 especially. Do not be drunk with wine. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. What I want to speak to you today about is the role of the Holy Spirit. The role of the Holy Spirit in our ministry and our worship leading. You know, the longer that I walk with Jesus, the more I've come to understand that I need the power of the Holy Spirit. More than I need a great sound guy, more than I need great equipment, although I really do think I need great equipment. More than I think I need all these great things, what I need is the power of the Holy Spirit. I need to be led by the Spirit. So important to my life as a believer is the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus said in John 14, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. He will be in you. Jesus did not want us to live without the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the basis of everything we do. The Holy Spirit that dwells with you and is in you. You know, there's so much talk about revival, especially in Southern California. We have what is going to take place, or did take place, the largest baptism in history, right? It's being spread across the news. A lot of hype, basically a marketing event where we're going to network together hundreds of churches and do with all these hundreds of churches what Jesus did in the Jesus movement with one church, Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And basically, people putting together these big worship events, there's baptisms on college campuses, and people are calling it revival. And it could be. I'm not saying that it's not. But there's something that we need to understand, and that is that Jesus gave to every single one of us the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us has the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. And the Bible says that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken, or a better translation is, it will release life into your mortal body. It will release life into you. And so every Christian is not only alive. We don't come alive when we come to Christ. There's more that happens when we come to Christ. Not only do we become alive, but we become a life-giving flow. The Holy Spirit is flowing through us to give life to those around us. This life-giving Holy Spirit. And that means the normal Christian life is a life that's continually in a state of revival. We're not asking for a revival. We're in a state of revival constantly. The life of Jesus is flowing through us because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And this is essential for every worship leader, every musician, every singer, every audio and visual engineer to understand that the presence of God is always with us. The presence of God is always present. We're not always aware of it, but that doesn't change the fact that it's true. We're not always aware of the air that we breathe unless it's too cold. Then we're aware of it, or if it's too hot. But it doesn't change the fact that it's there. And we're to live in the continual awareness of his presence. And that you and I, that we are people of the presence of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Now, this is so simple. It's a simple thing, but it's so key, because if you don't believe this, if you don't believe that God is with you, that if you don't believe that when you walk onto the platform that the presence of God is already here, then you're going to buy into some of the pop theology that's going around, some of the buzzwords, and you're going to say things like, Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. It's almost like the Holy Spirit didn't get the memo. He didn't read the bulletin that said that church starts at 10. He needs to be invited in. And he's not present unless you say, come, Holy Spirit. But I've heard many people pray that. God showed up. God didn't show up. He was already here waiting for you. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And the truth is that it's the Holy Spirit that gathers us, that draws us together as the people of God to worship God. In Revelation, it says this, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And so I never invite the Holy Spirit to show up. And I realize that that probably takes out like a bunch of songs that you like to sing. Because it's the Holy Spirit that invited me. You see, it's Jesus that invited me to come be a part of his family. It's Jesus that brought me into the kingdom of heaven. It's Jesus that gathers me to his people. The Holy Spirit at work. And so I begin, when I lead worship, I begin, or even preaching, I begin with the awareness that the Holy Spirit is here and he's present with us and he's in us and he's gathered us all together. I don't need a few fast songs to get people in the mood for worship. I mean, I've even heard that teaching. You know, the people come, they're far away from God, they need a few fast songs to kind of get them into the mood, a call to worship, we call it. Not recognizing that the call to worship began when the Holy Spirit woke them up that morning to say, I want you to come and worship me. Worship Jesus, not me. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to be worshiped. He points everything to Jesus. And so the Spirit is already working. He's already drawn the people together. And not only is the Spirit with me and in me, but Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be upon me. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, we refer to this as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it is essential to be a witness, a representative of Jesus. You cannot minister the power of God if you've never received the power of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have to have power and have received power in order to minister power. Let me tell you about D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a successful evangelist. And in the early days of his ministry, R.A. Torrey writes that he had a tremendous desire to serve God, but he had no real power. He had success even. With all of his ambition, he had great success. And you know, you can have a lot of success with a lot of talent and a lot of energy and a lot of ambition. You can create movements. And we've seen that in our culture. But he had no real power. And there were these two Free Methodist women that would come up to him at the end of his meetings, and they would say, Mr. Moody, we are praying for you. And finally, one day, Mr. Moody gets to them. D.L. Moody became very irritated. He said, "Listen, ladies, don't pray for me. You need to pray for the people that need it. Pray for those people that need to get saved." And they replied and said, "Mr. Moody, we're praying that you may get the power." And D.L. Moody did not know what they meant. So he asked them, "Would you come and explain that to me? I want to understand what you mean, I need to get the power." And they explained about the power of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit. And D.L. Moody asked that they pray for him, and he prayed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Nothing happened when they prayed for him. But a few days passed, he was on his way to England, and he was walking up Wall Street in New York, and the power of God fell upon him. And he had to hurry off to a friend's house. And he got in a room by himself, and in that room he stayed alone for hours. The Holy Spirit came upon him, filling his soul with such joy that he had to ask God to withhold his hand lest he die. And he went out from that place with the power of the Holy Ghost upon him. And when he got to London, the power of God wrought through him mightily, and hundreds were added to the churches. And Moody would say later, afterwards, "What changed? Did you do anything different?" He said, "No, I didn't do anything different. I preached the same messages. I gave the same altar calls. But the results were exponentially greater after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit." When I was 17, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. There was a guy by the name of Lonnie Frisbee. He came to our church in Escondido. And it was like an afterglow service. And he said, "We're going to pray now, and God is going to baptize people in the Holy Spirit." And so he said, "I want you to prepare yourself to receive." So we all did. We followed his instructions, and we were preparing to receive, and I'm just kind of standing there, and all of a sudden I hear him saying, "Oh, the Lord is touching you over there, the Lord is touching you over there, the Lord is touching you," and he didn't say that about me. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, "Lord, I want to be touched," and so he kept praying. I'm like, "Well, Lord, I really do, I really would like to be touched." And I was wearing this orange Jesus. It had a Jesus fish on it. You know, I was as Christian as you could get. I was a walking bumper sticker for the Lord. And he finally says, "You in the orange T-shirt, the Lord is touching you." And I said, "That's it? That's all I get? Just a little touch?" I said, "Lord, I don't want just a touch. I want everything you got with, you know, for me. I want to be filled. I want overflowing. I want to be filled completely. I want everything you've got for me and more. I want it all, Lord. I want everything you have for me, Lord." And this cry developed in my heart. And I prayed this for like 10 minutes. And all of a sudden, I felt this tap on the shoulder. Lonnie says, "Come up here." And he brought me up front. And he said, "This is what you were praying. You were praying, Lord, I want everything you have for me and more, and God is going to give it to you right now." And he prayed for me, and I received the power of the Holy Ghost for sure. I felt like 1,000 volts of electricity went through my body, and I was going to die. And at one point, he looked at me, he goes, "This has never happened to you before, has it?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, give him more, Lord." Except if you knew Lonnie, he was not a tame guy. He was very loud and dramatic. But that night changed the dynamic of my ministry. I led worship the same way. I sang the same songs, only there was an exponentially greater sense of the presence of God. And people began to be changed in radical ways. We had people come to Christ. People would come in that weren't saved. They'd start crying. People would come in sick, God would touch their bodies, and they would leave healed. And they had this, we just saw God do these amazing things. One time I was leading worship, and Don McClure was speaking, and when I was at Costa Mesa, and he goes, what was that? What's different about what happened here? I says, I don't know. It was the Lord. It was just the Holy Spirit was moving. And that's the difference. I experienced this when I led worship with Mike McIntosh during COVID, when you're not supposed to go out. I didn't know you're not supposed to go out. And so we went out and we just started ministering in all these cities across the Midwest. And in one place, this city, there was a protest happening. We had our outreach happening. Then there was a Black Lives Matter protest. Across the street was a Blue Lives Matter, and they were protesting the Black Lives Matter. Then you had this group over here, All Lives Matter, and they were protesting everybody. And so they were just all, and it was starting to heat up. And I turned to the organizers of this outreach. I said, what do we do? And they said, just go for it. And so I just started leading Let It Rise. I just let the glory of the Lord. And as soon as we started praising the Lord, the whole place, peace came on the whole place. And it was so noticeable that there was a flea market that was happening behind us, and they weren't Christians, and they watched the whole thing happen. And they said it was amazing. As soon as the gospel music started happening, all of these three groups that were protesting began to sway to the sound of the music. The power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God. Now, I know enough, and I'm smart enough to know it's not my showmanship, it's not my talent, it's not my charisma. It truly is the Holy Spirit. It's what Jesus said. You will receive power to be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The power of the Holy Spirit is essential for ministry, and you have nothing to offer without it. You know, so often when I hear people say, well, you know, I have this small group of people and this small team, and we just can't seem to come together. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't need more strategies. You don't need more techniques. You need the presence of Jesus. And it's amazing what Jesus can do with one person that is filled with the Holy Spirit and submitted to the Holy Spirit. So how do I receive the power of the Spirit? When verse 18 here, Paul says we must first make a choice. He says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. There's a choice that you have to make. Two very different experiences from two very different sources. And I don't believe that Paul was making a comparison. Paul is not saying that when you are filled with the Spirit, that it's like being drunk in the Spirit. And I've heard people make that comparison, you know, the Pentecostals, you know, I was drunk in the Spirit, you know, just like it says in Ephesians. That's not what Paul is talking about. The context that Paul is speaking of in Ephesians 5 is Paul is exhorting them to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That word for fellowship that is used here, it's not koinonia, it's a different word which means to participate together. And so what Paul is saying is don't participate in anything that is evil, that is sinful, that is dark, that is shameful, that is unprofitable. Just don't be a part of it. Don't participate with it. Rather, be intentional about what you do. And he tells us to redeem the time, to be wise with your time. And it's in the context of this, of redeeming the time, of being wise with your time, of not participating in anything that is unfruitful, that he says, do not be drunk with wine, rather be filled with the Spirit. And so there's a choice that has to be made. I would submit this to you, that people want to experience the real presence of God. That's what they all hunger for. According to Barna research in 2025, 77% of U.S. teenagers are motivated to continue learning about Jesus through their lives. What does that mean? There is a hunger for God right now. There's a hunger for God right now in our culture amongst the generations. People want a real connection with God. That's why there's so many of these worship movements and different things that are taking off, because there is an authentic hunger. And if you are not filled with the Spirit, if you're not led by the Spirit, then you're going to rely on something else to give you the illusion of God's presence. That's what happens when you are drunk with wine. You feel a buzz, you get an experience, but it's not the Holy Spirit. You feel something, but it's not God. When I was a young worship leader, I would listen to the way my worship leader heroes would lead their songs, pronounce their words, say things, you know, that they said to get the crowd going, you know, and we all know what to do, right? We know how to get a crowd going. They're standing in front of a group of people. I remember one time I'm leading worship, and I used to have this talk I would do, you know, isn't God alive? Is he here present? Is your God dead? No, he's not dead. He's with us right now. So then let's act like it, you know, let's sing like it, let's clap, let's do it. And so I was in a new church plant in San Diego State University, and we didn't have overheads or anything like that. We had song sheets. So everyone had a song sheet. So I'm doing this worship set, and I'm noticing nobody's clapping, and they're staring at their papers, and so I did my speech, and afterwards I got a few more people to clap, and you know, because people will respond when you yell at them, they'll respond to that, and so they got to going, and then afterwards the pastor came up and talked to me and said, "Man, the worship was great. It was awesome this morning." He goes, "You know, Holland, the only thing is, it's just something for you to consider. It's just hard to clap when you have paper in your hand." I was looking for an external sign, feeling, emotion to tell me that the Holy Spirit was moving. I wasn't relying on the Holy Spirit. So I learned how to manipulate a crowd to get a response. And today I watch young worship leaders doing the same thing. They rely on multi-tracks, so they can sound like Brandon Lake or they can sound like Phil Wickham. And the idea is like, well, if God blesses them that way, if I bring that into my church, God is going to do in my church what he's doing on their platforms. God does not anoint you being someone else. God anoints you being yourself. I watch people rely on droning pads to create an atmosphere. We're going to create the Holy Spirit is about to come into the move. Boom. The Holy Spirit's here. The Holy Spirit pad, right? And I watch worship leaders repeat phrases, emotionally build the music to create an emotional release in the worship. And as a musician, these are all skills that I learned how to do. You can move people with just music. And when you do those things, you manipulate people into an experience. They may even cry. But it won't be the Holy Spirit. It won't be the Holy Spirit. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't chase after an experience. Be filled with the Spirit. And that word filled is in the present passive imperative tense, which means it's a command. You're commanded to be filled with the Spirit, but it's not something that you do. It's something that's done to you. It's something that God does now. And what that means for you and I is that we need to position ourselves in a place where we're constantly receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God is doing it. He's here right now, pouring out his Spirit. We need to position our hearts. We need to position our minds to be in a place of receptivity to say, okay, Lord, I'm here. Fill me. I'm ready to receive from you. And what's interesting about the word used for filled is that it can also be translated to fill with artistic understanding. You know, the Holy Spirit releases creativity. The Holy Spirit searches the mind of God, who is the most creative person in all of creation. No one more creative than God. And the Holy Spirit is releasing that understanding to each one of us to receive. The Holy Spirit will give you melodies to sing, rhythms to play, chord progressions to play. The Holy Spirit will unify musicians to create one sound of praise. It got to be a running joke in our church at one time when we had a full band, and we had a guy who was a producer that was played piano for us, and we would go through sound check, and it would be awful. Our sound checks were horrible. They were the worst. It's like, you guys should not play together. It was that bad. And then as soon as we prayed, and it was like, okay, Lord, we're here for you, and all of a sudden, the band would be healed. And they would start playing together, and they would make one sound, and the melodies, everything was just, and the guy said, I don't know what it is. He goes, I hate sound check, but I love what God does when it's go time, because the Lord always seems to move. The Holy Spirit will give you the ears to mix sound. The Holy Spirit will inspire the lyrics you write, the camera shots that you take. There's nothing more powerful than a Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered worship team and tech team. And notice the natural result of being filled with the Spirit. Worship flows in verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, psalms are popular songs. Hymns are traditional songs. Spiritual songs are songs that are inspired for the moment. And all three types of songs are needed. And notice what happens in the heart. Singing and making melody in the heart. Singing and making melody in the heart. A continuous stream of worship directed to Jesus begins to fill your heart. Psalms 40 verse 3, put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. And so when you stand to minister to the people, this continuous stream that's already moving in your heart pours out over the people. You see, if you're in a place where you're like, oh, I got to learn this song. Oh, I got to get in the mood to worship. You've already missed the fact that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. And what you really need in that moment is to just let him flow. Let the Holy Spirit move. Now, I can tell you this, that you do have to speak to your AV team and let them know that the Holy Spirit's moving. Otherwise, they'll get very frustrated at you. I have frustrated many an AV team. But you see, that's what it means to minister out of the abundance, out of the overflow, out of that abundant life that you've received from Jesus. To just allow Jesus to pour through you in worship. And notice verse 20, the natural response of being filled with the Spirit is gratitude. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the context is being filled with the Spirit. The natural result is worship. The natural response is gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing by the work of your Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that you give thanks for when your car breaks down. That could be laziness on your part or on my part. You know, I forgot to put oil in my car. I've done that many times. My car breaks down, and it's not spiritual warfare. It's me not putting oil in my car. I'm not thanking God because the band sounds, terrible. We're going to worship you in spite of. It's like, no, we're going to sit and talk to the band and say, guys, you need to be faithful in learning your part. So when we come together, we can come together and work on how to play together as a team, not coming together and learn together the songs. We need to learn those songs before we come to rehearsal. What I do thank God for is the work of His Spirit to lead me, to comfort me, to give me wisdom and insight, to empower me. In every circumstance, at all times, I thank God because His presence is with me, His power is upon me, and He's working in and through me. And when I was sleeping on the benches of Denver Airport, And the cleaning lady's cleaning up, and I'm freaking out because I think someone's trying to mug me. I'm like, Lord, you are working in me right now, and I thank you for that. And I curse the airlines for putting me in this situation. But that's the natural response of being filled with the Spirit. And finally, notice in verse 21, the natural way the Spirit works is through mutual submission. Paul writes, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And that word submitting means a willingness to yield to another's wishes. It's a willingness to get along, a willingness to respect the position or the authority of another person out of respect to God. Peter writes this, he says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, of all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And wherever the Holy Spirit is leading, there is a culture of mutual submission. Jesus said, if you want to be great, be a servant of all. And when it comes to church worship and the band, we're all there to serve the needs of the church. We're not there to serve our artistic wants and desires. We're there to serve the needs of the church, what is appropriate to lead them in worship. The tech team is there to serve the needs of the band. The video team is there to serve the needs of the people that are watching so that they can receive God's word. The worship leader is there to serve the needs of the pastor and the needs of the team. But what if you have someone that's on the team and they're not a good fit? The answer is you serve them. You serve them. If you're the leader, you serve them by helping them get to where God wants them to be. And that's what I tell everybody that I meet with. My primary job is to help you get to where you need to be, where God wants you to be. And that might not be in worship ministry. It might be in another ministry. But the intent is to serve them, not to embarrass them, not to discourage them, but to serve them and to help them go to where they need to be. I had a guy that was on our, wanted to be on the worship team. And he played, what he said is, I play color guitar. And I said, what is that? And he goes, well, that's, you know, whatever you're playing, I play something else. And I just add color. So I said, okay, why don't you come and rehearse? This is when I used to do rehearsals. And he played with us. And I thought, I don't like this color. And so what am I going to say? And I just said to him, you're not quite ready to be with the team. And he took it very personal. And he was leading worship in a Bible study. And every week they would talk about how horrible worship was at our church and all the mistakes I had made leading worship. And he called a meeting with the senior pastor and said, I want to confront you on this. And I'm like, oh, man. And so I'm on my way down and I'm praying and I'm like, Lord, what is going on here? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, he has been turned down in every church he's been in by the worship leader, and he has been deeply hurt, and you're just the next one in line. And I said, what do I do, Lord? And he says, apologize to him. And I said, okay. So I went down, and we sat down in a Denny's, I think it was, and I said, before you speak, I was driving down here and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And what he told me is that in every church you've been in, you've wanted to serve. And every worship leader has told you, you're not good enough to serve. And so on behalf of all the worship leaders in your life, I want to apologize. I'm sorry. And he just started sobbing. And after a few moments, we started talking. We found out he loved to read scripture. And the pastor was there. I said, what do you think if we had him open the service and read a scripture? And the pastor said, that's a great idea. And so that's what he did. He started reading scripture. And as he would pray all week for this scripture to read and open the church service up in prayer. And more times than not, he would read the passage that the pastor was going to preach out of. It's Holy Spirit speaking. And all of a sudden, overnight, he went from being my worst critic to being my biggest champion, which is why I did it. No, I'm just kidding. Here's the point. I could not have done that without the power of the Spirit. I could have not done that unless the Holy Spirit had baptized me and empowered me to represent Jesus to him. If you're dealing with problems with people on your team, if you're dealing with people in your church not singing, you need more than advice and techniques. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need a fresh filling. Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And many of the problems that you've been facing and the things that I've been hearing about as I've been here the last couple of days, it's really because you've been trying to handle things in your own power and your own strength and your own wisdom, and you're making bigger problems than solutions. And you're saying, I don't know what to do. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you need the Holy Spirit to lead you and direct you. When it comes to your team, you need the Holy Spirit to lead you and direct you in your team. I led worship one time for a church that didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. And I said, before we get into our rehearsal, we're just going to worship for a moment. We began worshiping. And all of a sudden, the singers were like, oh, I feel really lightheaded. I have to sit down. I said, that's okay. It's the Holy Spirit. You'll get used to it. You get in the presence of God. And in that little team of people that never encountered the Holy Spirit, God began to fill their hearts. They began to fall in love with Jesus. You see, as a leader, that's what God can do through you. Submitted to the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit.